In today's reflection, I will combine the gospel readings of Monday and Tuesday of the 8th week of Ordinary Time. That comprises Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 31. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." He replied and said to him, "Teacher, all of these I have observed from my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You're lacking in one thing. Go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At that statement, his face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. So Jesus again said to them in reply, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were exceedingly astonished and said among themselves, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For men it is impossible, but not for God. All things are possible for God." Peter began to say to him, "We have given up everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, who will not receive 100 times more now in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and eternal life in the age to come. But many that are first will be last, and the last will be first." The Gospel of the Lord. This Gospel of Mark 10 follows the teaching of Jesus about becoming like little children to enter the kingdom. This man that runs up to him is an example of not being like a child. He's a good man indeed. He observes the commandments, and Jesus does not deny that. But he's trying to find a way to salvation on his own merits, his own efforts, his own project. And he thinks that maybe he's missing something. He knows he's doing good, he's performing all the duties and commandments. But what could be lacking? And he trusts that Jesus is a good man and has the answers. And so he runs to him and kneels before him, which is a very profound sign of reverence. And Jesus starts by asking him, "Why do you call me good?" Now, Jesus is not denying that he himself is good, but this is a very challenging question, which I ask you now. Why do you call Jesus good? I mean, is he good because he teaches well? Or because he's famous? Or because he performs miracles? Or because you agree with him? Why is he good? And Jesus points out to God. Only God alone is good, and the fountain of all goodness. So Jesus is good because he's one with God, and he's completely abandoned to the Father. It's not because he merited being good by doing things. It's union with God, which only God can achieve, that makes us good. And so Jesus acknowledges the importance of the commandments, but there's more needed. And Jesus, this is now the key for this whole narration, looking at him, loved him. Looking at him, loved him. You see, how can we be saved? How can we enter eternal life? Not by our merits, not by our efforts. So many times we grown-ups listen to the Gospels. We want to acquire insights, maybe ideas on how to be better Christians. But we fail to realize that what God wants to do is something much deeper. Actually, we have to be born again. He has to go to the very depth of our being and change our attitudes, our mentality, our hearts. And that is very hard. It is a miracle when that happens once we're adults. Because we think, this is the way I am. This is the way I always lived. And we do not realize what it really means to totally abandon ourselves, not to do good things for God. You see, we know that we cannot go beyond some limits. We know there are things we should not do. But that's not enough. Jesus doesn't want us just to feel that we're limited, we cannot do this or that. He wants to completely transform the very core of our being so that everything is in him, transformed in him. And my family, this is a lifelong project, and it cannot happen by ourselves. That's why we need accompaniment. That's why we have to have an exterior voice of a brother and sister who loves us, who will challenge us and tell us the truth. And that's where many people do not want to go. So Jesus told him, after he said, the gospel tells us, Jesus looked at him, loved him, and then he gives him the challenge that he has to give up everything, give it to the poor, and follow him. You see, he could not do that because he did not enter the gaze of Jesus. It's the very same gaze that Mary Magdalene received and transformed her and delivered her from 7 demons. She became a new woman by the gaze of Jesus. And Jesus now wants to gaze upon you. Look how, little later in the same gospel, Jesus then looks at the disciples, the apostles, and speaks to them. Jesus does not just speak to us. He gazes upon us. He looks at us. And it's very important that we look at him as well. Through that encounter is that we can really be transformed. Sadly, this man did not enter the gates, and he went away sad. Then Jesus tells the disciples how hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom. And then when the disciples are surprised that he's saying this, Jesus says, for men, it is impossible, okay? For us to be saved, to enter into the kingdom, it's impossible. No matter how much we try and how many merits and how much we work, by ourselves it's impossible. But for God, nothing is impossible. So what do we need to do? We have to become like little children, be born again, allow Him to enter into our being, and allow Him to constantly be transforming us into Him, so that we're no longer two but one in His sacrifice of love. Become one with Christ. That is the way of salvation. By the way, there's a difference between being saved and entering eternal life. There are two different aspects. Being saved refers to being saved from hell. The Lord wants to save us from hell. But that's only part of the story. Once that happens, are we just now okay? You know, He took us out from the pit. It's like if you find somebody that is broke down in the highway and you help him fix the car and they say goodbye and he goes his way and you go yours. No, that's not what Jesus did. It's taking us from damnation, from darkness, and bringing us to a new life in Him. That's entering eternal life. It's that new life now in Christ that is all important. And so it's not God, the benefactor, who fixes us so we go our way. It's God, the spouse. Jesus wants to marry us, become one with us. And that's why now He tells them that if we have given up houses, brothers, sisters, mother, father, children, lands, that's what you do when you get married. Give up everything to enter into something new. That does not mean that you forsake and you hate your parents in the sense that we understand hating today. It means that now your life is totally transformed, and the relationship with your parents must take a new level, a new way that does not conflict with the new life that God is giving you in marriage. And so when we become Christians, we got married with Christ, and everything else now has to be illumined. It has to come now into terms with that centrality of Jesus Christ, the Lord. What a joy. The Lord gives us 100 times more, even on this earth, because we become part of the family of Christ, the church. And we have many blessings, but also persecutions. But when we are with the Beloved, everything turns into joy. Finally, the Lord tells us the first will be last, and the last will be first. The order of importance that the world has about things, about people who are great and who are not great, will be completely different in the light of Christ. So, what are we aiming for? Greatness in this world, or the greatness of being one with Christ? God bless you.